Do you know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks.
The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Hey, good morning. Gus, push a button, would you? Thanks. I am your host for the Technology Geeks, Mike Rao. Joining me in the studio, we're at full strength this week. Sort of.
Yeah, Jim, the hair grew back nicely.
Thank you, Jim. What, did you lose a bet or something? Or?
No, this is Lee Presson hair.
Yeah. He got a bad haircut, so he hasn't been in for 3 weeks.
Okay. Hey, what are we going to do today? You know, thought about it. We have the group that I belong to, the Association of Computer Machinery.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's been around for like
weeks.
50 years. Almost 50 years now. Almost 60 years. I'm good at math. Since 1947, so that would be almost 60 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have chosen and they're going to honor their computer professional of the year this Wednesday. And I thought about it and I said, you know, we start to reminisce about, I've been involved in technology here in Syracuse for, you know, since the early 70s, really, since I was a teenager. And, I don't think people realize what rich history of technology we have here, and really that Syracuse is considered one of the better technology areas in the whole country. You know, we think of, a technology town around us. We always think of Rochester. But now what do you hear in the news when you hear, I'm not trying to knock Rochester, but they're not listening, so what the heck.
Yeah.
When you hear about technology in Rochester now, it's layoffs.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
When you hear about technology in Syracuse, what do you hear? Jobs, hundreds of them coming in from Marietta, Money, AXA Financial, the Technology Garden. So we want to talk about that and kind of highlight some of the big successes in Central New York with their technology. Of course, we've got the Geek of the Week software pick, website of the week. We didn't do our Geek of the Week software pick last week, did we?
Nope. Excellent.
No.
Oh, he don't want to show up, I ain't doing it.
I don't He's not getting paid enough to do two jobs.
Yeah.
We got some announcements to go over. One of them is the Computer Professional of the Year. We may have, he may be joining us today on the show to talk about how he earned this great honor. It's very geeky stuff. People are going, oh, yeah, computer professional, great. It's not like he won the Cy Young Award or MVP of the NBA or anything like that. But we'll have those. And, of course, as always, we start off the show with news. Push a button.
Any button. Push a button.
There we go.
What a great week for news, too. I had so much stuff. I basically went through the last couple of days. There were so many items I just had to give up. My first one is Apple Software is going to let Intel-based Macs run Windows. Apple introduced software to let its newest computers run Microsoft Corp's Windows XP program. The software called Bootcamp will work on personal computers with Intel Corp chips. How about that one? Now, why can't I run?
So what makes them Apples, then? If they're Intel processors and they're running Windows, I think the Apple's been baked. Pretty much it's gone, right?
Well, the thing with the Apple is everything's still proprietary. You buy an Apple, you get what you get, and you better like what you got because you're not changing
You get to use the Apple hardware, which people are pretty vehement about, but really you're going to spend a lot more for an Apple to run Windows than you will for a Dell to run Windows.
My question still remains, when am I going to be able to run OS X on the PC?
On the PC.
That's what I want to do. Because it's a good operating system.
Absolutely.
I'd love to dual boot it.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, you know that email scam that you get, the Nigerian email scam? I don't know if you guys...
That's a scam?
Have had a few, yeah.
Is it really?
No!
We follow... Well, go ahead with your story, but I got a funny story about that.
It's the one where you pony up a little bit of money, and you'll get millions of dollars if you do it. It's usually some guy says, I'm the king of Nigeria or some garbage, I don't know. It's so funny, I've never read the whole thing. It's just so stupid. The answer to the question is $5,000 is the cost to the people who have fallen for this scam. At least that's a median loss among those reported being taken to the taken by the fraud to federal authorities. IC3 analyzed...
What was that number again? I'm sorry.
$5,000 each.
How many people?
Well, hold on. I was saying, they analyzed 97,000 plus of last year's complaints to develop a picture of the current state of online fraud. Of that 97,076, some 2.7% claim to be victims of Nigerian email fraud. Do the math.
You are really stupid people.
And, right. More than 1,300 people paid $5,000 or more to the fraudsters for that scam. Yeah.
Only in America.
You know, that is just, I'll tell you, we did this Nigerian thing, right? We got the email at work when I was working a contract for Niagara Mohawk, actually, and one of the guys on the trading floor, there was an energy trading floor, he got the email, and he goes, well, how did this get through our spam filters and stuff? I said, who cares? Let's have some fun with this.
Right.
So we would write them back, and they would fax us... like really official looking documents and things like this, and we took this thing. We were messing around with these guys for like 5 or 6 weeks. It was hilarious. See, to me, I feel sorry for those people, but not too much, because the type of phishing scams that, like this, where it plays on someone's greed,
right.
I think are, you know, hey, you get what you pay for. If somebody's getting scammed because of fear, like, oh, give us your password and stuff because somebody's invaded your bank,
right.
Those are really evil. But this, you know, if somebody gets conned because they're greedy, hey, maybe you shouldn't be so greedy, yeah. You know?
It's not even that. It's just, who would read that?
The grammar isn't exactly...
I mean, in another life, I would have been a criminal if I knew it was that easy. Yeah. Look at this stuff. Are you kidding me? Wow. A Department of Homeland Security official was arrested Tuesday night and charged of using his computer to seduce a child after he allegedly struck up a sexually explicit conversation with a detective posing as a 14-year-old girl. Yes.
Homeland Security.
Yes.
Oh, it gets better. Brian Doyle, 55... is charged with 7 counts of use of a computer to seduce a child and 16 counts of transmission of harmful material to a minor. Doyle contacted a Polk County computer crimes detective who was posing online as a 14-year-old girl and initiated a sexually explicit conversation with her. Now, this is great.
But Doyle, it was a cop.
Doyle knew the girl was 14 years old, told her who he was, and that he worked for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Yeah.
This guy's a real
genius. Only the best and the brightest for our government.
Exactly. And apparently, these questions were on the civil service.
Yeah, there you go.
What a dumb thing to do.
So, as the two continued to chat online, Doyle gave this detective his home and office phone numbers, as well as a number to his government issued cell phone. And had explicit telephone conversations with the detective posing as the girl.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
I guess not. I mean, they're probably dead by
now. I mean, of all the people that would do something that stupid, it's a Department of Homeland Security official. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if he's George Bush's buddy. You know, it is a little sad. I don't know if you have the follow-up story, the other big cyber sex story of the week, if you covered that.
Go ahead.
But this is something that, you know, I in the other media stuff that I do, we talked about this week, is, you know, they have these websites, and there's a lot of pornography out on the Internet, and it's a big free speech issue.
There is.
And, okay, yeah, there is, right? And, you know, I guess I can concede that for the moment, but sex crimes against minors, including showing, you know, photographs of children underage, soliciting for sex for children that are underage. Those are crimes. We don't need to pass any more laws or do anything else besides enforce those laws against against the people who are perpetrating these things. The example that I gave is there was someone testifying before Congress, a kid who is currently 19 years old. He started doing this, I think, when he was 12 or 13, and he started a little online business innocently enough, but, you know, he's kind of left alone, and he doesn't have really good parents, obviously, and he was making money, and a reporter discovered this, convinced him to turn the names over to the authorities. 1,500 names. 1,500 names, including their credit cards and everything, and these are pedophiles, clearly, and, you know, there's obviously people in danger that are associated with these people, and that was many months ago, 7-8 months ago. When I originally discussed this on the air, there was exactly, how many arrests do you think?
Two?
One.
That's close.
It changed to two after it became a big news story.
It's like I know stuff.
Yeah. One or two arrests. And the problem is, you know, in the FBI or the Justice Department, actually, I don't want to criticize the FBI unnecessarily here, but our arrests are up 480% from last year on, cyber crimes for pedophiles. Yeah, well, if you only arrest on one person, a 500% increase is only five more people.
If you only got one out of 1,000, your batting average isn't really that good to start with.
Yeah.
But how are they horrible. How are they doing now? This only makes the
They're
news.
They're not doing anything, is the thing.
This only makes the news because it's a Department of Homeland Security official. So
yeah, DHS
they're out
guy.
There doing it, so maybe they're doing a lot more now.
There is a good cybercrime unit here in central New York. It started in Oneida, and the state troopers in Oneida, they were one of the first in the country.
Nice.
To do it, and they have taught many other of these cybercrime units how to talk like you're a kid online and can snag these people.
I remember if
snab
you went
is
back,
that word?
We went back 3, 4, 5 years ago and we were talking about this. I remember you and I used to have conversations about this. One of the biggest problems was the police departments in general were as technologically behind as a government office.
Yeah, not true anymore. They're state troopers. They were smart.
That's what I'm saying.
They picked people who already had a good aptitude for computers, right. Like playing around with them, understood the internet. They got on this stuff in the early days of AOL when there was only dial-up. There was no high-speed internet. Yep. And they really started to go after these people. And it was very encouraging to see that, because it's a tough job. I can tell you these cops get burned out quickly because it's such a diseased thing to be exposed to all the time. It's very, very depressing. It really is.
Well, that was my point. It just at one point, the police department, you know, way back, could have considered a joke, had no way to handle this, but they really did a great job, and like you said, starting with Oneida. Cyber crooks are increasingly fighting each other as well as antivirus vendors in pursuit of illegal gain, Kaspersky Labs has warned. The antivirus provider said Tuesday that as profits from cybercrime grew in 2005, criminals increasingly tried to prevent antivirus providers from developing protection against the latest threats. And we've mentioned this before, one of the things these guys like to do is, if they can get onto your system, the first thing they want to do is disable your antivirus.
Right.
So that they have access to everything. We had no idea until one point we realized some of the spyware companies had MajorGeeks.com listed as being blacklisted.
Blacklisted.
So basically, if you caught their spyware and somebody said, oh, go to MajorGeeks.com and download adware, you couldn't get there because we were on their list of sites that could help you.
You know you made it when.
Yeah, so that's when
the bad guys blocked you.
That's when we knew we were getting a little popular because now we're being blocked by all the spyware. So that was a pretty big honor for us. So I'd like to thank the guys who did that.
The criminals who did that. Hey, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll have more of the show, of course. We'll get to our feature, which is Central New York Technology. Go over some of the highlights of our CNY technology. We'll have the Geek of the Week software pick, website of the week, probably a little bit more news, and, of course, plenty of announcements. And your calls at 421-9325, 421-WFBI. I forgot to invite people to call. What a jerk I am.
Nobody wants to talk to you anyway.
I concur. That's the universal dumb sound effect. We got to get some more of those.
We need a whole lot of them.
Yes, we do.
421-9325.
All right.
Hey, you got one right.
Good job, God. 421-9325-421-WFBL. You are listening to everybody. Shut up. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks, right here at Talk Radio 1390 WFBL. Hey, look, guys, I told you.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories.
The Computer Outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the Computer Outlet today.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are. We're back. Well, most of us are. Right here on MajorGeeks.com is the Technology Geeks. 421-9325. 421-WFBL is the number to call if you have a question or comment or anything else. Feature this week, we're going to do Central New York computers. You got any more news stories that you wanted to do?
No, but Bill from Groton would like to know why his emails never get answered.
Oh, here we go. I was arguing about that. You got to... I told you that Gene Simmons, you know, off air talking on the radio, knew who Major Geeks was, thought I was Major Geeks. I corrected him, of course, right. Sort of. But your partner here, Jim, thinks I was making that up.
It was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. It's not. I'm going to get Gene Simmons to personally write to you. His writing style may be very similar to mine. I just want you to know that. But I'm going to have to get him to write you a letter.
Let's see, I've got a comedian on April Fool's Day saying that he met Gene Simmons and he's a fan.
I didn't meet him. Yeah. I met him over the telephone. I mean, if that's meeting somebody.
Hey,
but
Bill, it is if you're with the Department of Homeland Security.
Hey, Bill, how do you do answering your question?
Oh, did I answer your question? Our emails are going out in the bit bucket.
Yeah, they're.
And it's all my fault.
He's not checking the emails.
Jim is correcting it right now. So you can send us your fan mail at J McMahon at... What's your email address again?
At MikeRayo.com.
Yeah, oh, great. Yeah. Hosts at thetechnologygeeks.com.
That is correct.
And I will have those popped. I've got to wait a few minutes. I got to set up my POP account here. But you sent me the POP information. POP?
POP.
Goes the weasel. Okay.
That was a lot of setup for that. Yeah,
it was a terrible joke. Speaking of jokes, I'll be performing this Wednesday at Cucina d'Amore, my triumphant return. That's the place where I started this Wednesday at 8:30. I hosted a show, actually, last Wednesday with Mike Dambra, who was 2004's Comedian of the Year. He's a big shot. Very funny guy. And they have top national acts coming through. What they do is they pick up the guys that are working in the big clubs in either Albany or Rochester or Utica or whatever, and they get them to come in on a weekday, because they're on their way into town already, so they get a big name for $5. Cost you $5. You can come for dinner, stay for the show. It's a really good place, Cucina d'Amore, Bayberry Plaza in Liverpool.
Yeah. Is that Bayberry Plaza?
In Liverpool. Yeah, it's an interesting place. I don't know if you've ever seen the shopping center. Now, it's evolved over the years. Now, at one end of the shopping center is the post office. All the way over on the right, they have a post office, full-blown post office, big parking lot with all the postal trucks. And on the far left, they have a place where the post office buys all their office furniture, Metro Mattress. So, hit the number to call, 421-9325, 421-WFBL. And we're going to go to Jim in Liverpool. He's got a question about, what is it, James?
Yes.
James, can I call you Jim?
Sure.
Jim.
Okay, so there you go. Gus is, Gus, you're having a bad day. You're inches away from getting fired.
Go ahead, James.
You ready?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey,
we're through with you. Goodbye.
I have Windows XP Professional.
Okay.
And, one day I went to start it up, and it wouldn't get past boot. It would go to the Windows logo, and then the blue screen would flash.
Oh.
And it would start back over from the beginning. It would like cycle like that. So I reformatted my hard drive several times. I don't mind starting over. Now I can't even install my operating system. Because every time I get to the part where it's time to format the hard drive, I get a message saying that the hard drive can't be formatted; it may be damaged.
Have you changed the hard drive at all?
Excuse me?
Have you ever changed the hard drive at all? with another.
Well, I have two hard drives in my computer. One I just use for storage. I never have the power cable hooked up to it, so I hardly ever use it. But when I want to store something, I hook up the power cable.
Blue screens are very rare in XP, so my first thought is a heat issue or possibly some sort of hardware issue at this point.
Yeah.
I would pull RAM out. Typically what we would do as techs is we pull everything off the machine that we can possibly pull off of the machine and run it as bare bones as possible, which basically means the motherboard and the video card, everything else out. Extra hard drives, extra CD-ROMs, strip it down. Now the question is, does it run? If it does, then we're in good shape. Now we can start plugging in CD-ROMs, we can start plugging in the other hard drive, we can start putting the sound card back in one at a time until you find what causes the problem.
You're giving away all your best secrets.
The computer itself does work, because when I hook up my second hard drive, that works. I can, it boots and everything. I can see everything that's on my, I can get to all my files and everything.
So it sounds like you got a bad hard drive then, right?
But I was wondering why I can't reinstall my operating system.
It could be something with on the hard drive itself. There's chips and stuff on the drive that control what the drive does and what the drive sees and what the drive says it is. And one of those chips could be bad, could be damaged. One thing you could try that your motherboard may or may not support is called a low level format. There may be some
DOD.
There might be some sort of data on the drive itself which is causing a problem to get it to see the boot, but more likely than not the drive itself is shot,
which is not that rare.
Drives do wear out. One thing you can do to prevent that, I get a lot of this now with the newer versions of XP in particular, or since XP has come out, XP Home and Pro, drive thrashing seems to be a lot more common. If you don't have sufficient RAM in your machine, it burns those hard drives out constantly.
My drive's going to go pretty soon because I was playing the other night and I alt-tabbed out to look at one game alone was using 400 megs. And I got a gig, but with everything else running, and my drive's thrashing like crazy. But yeah, nothing has more moving parts than a hard drive, so you can expect a hard drive to fail more.
Fairly frequently. Inexpensive repair, too, James. You can probably get a decent hard drive for your computer for as little as $30 or $40. What brands do we recommend, guys?
I like Western Digital. You?
Well,
I'm a Seagate guy.
Maxstor.
Maxstor, Seagate.
What do we try to avoid? I mean, brands like Samsung hard drives, I don't even know if they're in business
really,
anymore.
Really, the big three are IBM, IBM, Western Digital, and probably Maxstor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can get them very, very affordably these days.
All right, well, I'll just go with the new hard drive.
All right, let us know how it turns out, James.
Thank you.
How does he go about low-level formatting? We got a tool or something that you can do that with? So you might want to try that before he buys it. I think he's called before. He sounds like he likes a ticker.
They come from the drive manufacturers themselves. If it's not on the board, like if you go into your BIOS setup, hit delete and go in there. If there's not a utility in there to low-level format, then you can get one at the drive manufacturer.
What kind of hard drive do you say you had? Maxstor?
He said he had Maxstor.
Maxstor.
Do we have it on the site? We got some.
Probably not, because there's specifics.
So, James, go to Maxstor.com and look for their hard drive installation tools. Or if you bought in a hard drive recently, it's a Maxstor, you probably got a floppy that came with it.
Yep.
And on there, you can run that and look for the low-level format and give that a shot. You sound like you like to tinker around, so why not low-level format? You're not going to hurt the drive anymore.
Yeah, in my experience, too, I mean, I've had people who have had hard drives go bad, and, will we get the machine back up and running? It doesn't require a full reinstall, but it locked out, 30 tracks. Yeah, you know what?
Bad sectors.
Yeah.
Bad sectors is a bad drive.
You know what? I don't even waste time because it's going to go.
Right.
Just replace a hard drive. Because it's typically an expensive repair on a PC hard drive, even a bigger one like an 80 gig or 100 gig drive. It's $80,
$70. Most stuff is cheap.
It's very, very inexpensive. You know, if they've got the thing backed up already or we could mirror the old drive, the labor isn't really that much. It's a time-consuming process, but the amount of face time in front of that computer is only—it's less than an hour, probably less than a half an hour to get the whole thing going.
That's why I tell people all the time, if you're listening now, it's not a matter of if your hard drive dies; it's a matter of when your hard drive
definitely
dies. So, if you want to save your pictures and your music and all your years of stuff, you better have it on CD or DVD.
Back it up.
421-9325, 421-WFBL is the number to call. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, CNY Technology. We're going to talk about our experiences and the whole history of Central New York Technology from our point of view. These guys are so excited about this.
I'm not going to talk about it at all. I'm just going to watch him. All right.
Oh, I hate that. Thank you for the sympathy, guys. There'll be a lot of dead air, too. If you want to know what that sounds like, Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks, right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFPL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the Geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft, going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private in life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just light zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8211 south of Route 31 and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet.
Second exciting half of MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. I am your host, Mike Rayo. Tim Tibbetts, Jim McMahon with me. Gus is taking your calls right now. There is one line open, 421-9325, 421-WFBL. And I'm without a computer, so I can't talk anymore. No, I'm just kidding. Take all the time you need there, boys.
I'm almost done. I'm trying to get a URL up there for James in case he needs it on thetechnologygeeks.com under today's story, so you have a link to get over to the Maxter tools. They're called Max Blast. He'd have to pick if he wants to do the Windows version, the floppy version, or the ISO version, which is burning an image to CD that you can boot off of, which is my personal preference.
Yes.
So
that brings up a good point, technologygeeks.com. If you want to listen to past shows, like last week's show without Jim here, it was a very funny show. Another line is ringing there, Gus, by the way. 421-325 is the number to call. Jim was laughing, yeah. Our April Fool show was an action-packed show full of calls, and the reason that the show was great is we went off script because we didn't have enough time to do what we were supposed to do on the show, and that always makes it fun. Let's see, we got still coming up, we got our Geek of the Week software pick, website of the week, and our announcements. Who do we have on the line now? James. Another James.
Got a question about a firewall.
Hi, James.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering about the, on the ZoneLime free firewall, it has a list of support browsers, and it doesn't list Opera. I was wondering how important it is if you go ahead and use Opera anyways. Would it be all that important?
A port is a port is a port.
Right, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
I mean, that's its job, is to block dangerous ports.
I think,
sleep in the barn with me, Wilbur.
And the firewall is, I mean, there may be some extra protection you can have, with, i.e. specifically with zone alarm and that sort of thing, but for as a whole, a firewall is a firewall. It's going to block ports. It's going to block other stuff, and it's browser independent. So.
That's what
I was kind of suspecting. So I just wondered if it was. I mean, they had listed about 7 or 8 of them. Mm-hmm. And this is the Firefox, and it's just, why would it be all that important?
Right. Well, it may have some plugins that do some additional security on the browser, but the true firewall function, which is very closely associated with the routing function.
So it's going to be every bit as secure.
Yeah, well, it's the same. I mean, it is, as Jim said, it's browser independent, it's software independent, even though it's a software. It manages your ports. Again, it may extend beyond the typical firewall function, do some additional things, but.
Thing to look at, too, is those ports are either open or closed, whether your browser is open or closed or not. There's other vulnerabilities to the operating system itself, to your email, to anything else
right.
that you use.
So it's not going to affect any of the features on the browser either.
No, it's unlikely, yes, very unlikely. Many sometimes it does, but not on Opera, I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call. 421-9325, 421-WFBL is the number to call if you want to get in, have a question. And I'm getting a lot of blank stares here, so...
I'm kind of sleepy.
Yeah, what's our Geek of the Week software pick there, Jim?
Oh, we're going to do one of those this week?
Why not? Well, you're here. So, you won't be here next week after that haircut, so...
thank you very much.
I wouldn't go out much. I wouldn't even be here this week.
It's not, it's a haircut meant for radio, you know what I'm saying?
Right?
Yes.
It worked out.
I hope my haircutter isn't listening because she'll be really agitated with me. Actually, it's not that bad of a haircut. Anyway, for the Geek Software pick this week, I have chosen a very simple, very fun one that was pointed out by one of the moderators on our message board last week called iColor Folder. That's iColor Folder, and it does exactly what it says.
If there's someone calling on another line there, Gus, we'll get to you. Let it keep ringing. Just needed to interrupt you there. iColor Folder, go ahead.
iColor Folder. we're down to Mel this week in the studio, so yeah. it's taking a little time.
Mel, by the way, Mel's mom is in the hospital. She's getting better, and they are listening right now, so I hope they all feel better. And
absolutely.
So Mel can get back to work.
All right, finish up your software. Man,
it's in the appearance section of MajorGeeks.com. Again, it's called iColor Folder, and it does exactly what it says. It colors the folders in your Explorer. So when you go through, you can choose, maybe you want to categorize your music folders as the color red, or your picture folders as the color blue, or your document folders as the color green. And it makes it a lot easier to sort and simplify and just go through and figure out where you are in your computer.
Unless you have blue-green color blindness, then you're going, I thought my picture were blue.
And go black and white.
There you go.
It's pretty neat. It's a free little piece of software.
I'm going to use that. I like that idea.
Yeah, really easy to install, really easy to use. It's just a really neat thing. Again, it's in the appearance section, and it's called iColor Folder.
Neat.
Okay. Hey, let's go to, what was that voice? Let's go to Donna in Syracuse. She's got a question. Welcome to the Technology Geeks, Donna.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Well, maybe you answered my question when you said Melody's mom was in the hospital. This is Donna from about 3 weeks ago. She was going to check out some files with a mic, and she was going to get back to me, and I haven't heard anything.
I'm the mic.
That's rare.
Whatever, but it's understandable.
Are you the one that still, you still have the screen that doesn't fit?
Right.
Donna, we're gonna put you on hold, get your phone number. You win a free visit from the people at Rent-A-Nerd. They're going to come on-site or Computer Outlet. One of those two companies will come on-site and fix your problem in person. Because it's too hard to fix over the phone. It's like giving a haircut over the phone,
it does
which
happen.
Is obviously what Jim got.
Yeah,
but, It's like doing a haircut over the phone. It's not something we can fix, so you're going to get a free visit, free computer tune-up on us. How's that?
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely. There you go. Hold on 1 second. We'll get your personal information.
I hope Mike isn't the one that shows up.
Mike, that would be me.
Not if you want
the
problem
fixed. She was going to talk to a Mike, and I'm like, I'm Mike. Did you really? Oh, boy. That was a tricky one, because I remember that goes back, and what was happening was she set her screen, she installed a new version of AOL, and then her screen resolution dropped to 800 by 600, but the desktop size stayed at 1024 by 768.
Right.
So she would move around and her screen would actually move as she moved her mouse.
Yeah, I couldn't make that happen if I wanted to.
My laptop actually does that because it has the television plug-in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can scale down your screen size so it'll match the TV size for your external video.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move stuff around and your video moves around. But she's got a desktop computer and I'm shocked that it can even do that.
No, it happens all the time when you're repairing stuff. That's why I always hate doing the phone stuff sometimes, because you can take a couple of guesses at it because you're not there.
Right.
And sometimes you need to be there and talk to the person and find out what it is they did or get your hands on it. So that's all you can do on the phone is take a couple stabs at it and hope you get it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you got to get your hands on it.
See, so that announcement, the nice thing we said about Melody that you made fun of actually paid off.
Ooh.
And instead of Donna calling to say, hey, where you guys been? Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody was sick and got another call. 421-9325, 421-WFBL. Hey, let's
get to your feature.
Why not? My feature. Yeah, thanks for participating. Well, next week is the Association of Computer Machineries. They'll honor their Computer Professional of the Year, which this year happens to be the president and CEO of Seneca Data, Kevin P. Connolly. He may join us on the show today. If not, maybe we'll catch him next week. But Seneca Data is a company many people haven't heard of, but they're one of the, I think they're in the top five now. I know they're in the top 10 white box manufacturers in the United States.
Yeah, if you repaired,
in other words, they're one of the biggest computer manufacturers in the world,
yeah,
right here in Syracuse.
If you repaired or built computers over the years, you've done business
if
with
you've,
them.
Yeah. If you've had local service done by a computer repairman, they've used Seneca Data. Yeah.
Now, they also happen to be the largest distributor of Oki Data products and the largest distributor on the East Coast of Acer computers, which had a kind of a negative reputation until recently. Particularly their laptops are incredibly affordable, and I can tell you personally, because the from personal experience, extremely durable computers. Coming, you know, a laptop with like 3 gigahertz, a gig of RAM, XP Pro, under $1,000.
Wow.
Unbelievable. You know, really, a great business machine. Good video on it, DVD burner loaded, under $1,000 with a 3-year warranty. Hard to beat, really hard to beat. Now, is it, you know, the same as an IBM with a titanium coating? No, it's not. It's a budget machine, but it's a very, it's got a lot of nice features for a budget machine. And there's blood coming out of your mouth from you biting your tongue there.
I was just thinking, you know, I only say about half what's on my mind every show.
And well, thank God for that.
I let that one go. carry on while you can.
Okay. Some other companies...
it's not getting any easier.
Yes. Money, AXA, you know, Mutual New York Insurance Company, now it's part of the AXA Financial Group, was the first company in the United States, insurance company, to use computers to do policy calculations and all of those kinds of things. They are a very big legacy IT company. When AXA bought them, and AXA is based in Boston, another big IT town, guess where they decided to house their computer center and move all their technology? Syracuse.
Oh.
Right to Syracuse.
Because all the buildings are empty in Syracuse. It's easy to find space.
Well, the reason that they did that, though, they own the buildings, and there are a lot of empty floors. That's true. But the other thing is, as well, we have a reputation, at least in other communities. Maybe we don't feel this way about ourselves. But when businesses are looking to expand IT, if they have a connection to Syracuse, it's a very, very large consideration to move their IT operations to Syracuse, because we have a very well-known personnel pool of highly talented professionals. And another thing that's very attractive is our IT professionals cost a lot less than a lot of the other computer centric areas like Dallas, Boston, Hartford, Connecticut, where people cost twice as much as they cost here for the same type of talent.
Cost
very hardworking
here
people.
At Syracuse is pretty good. One of the smartest guys I ever knew is one of the geeks over at Money, John Mills.
Went
to college with him. He's just his nickname was Savant, to give you an idea.
So when Money AXA came in, when AXA came in to merge with Money, they there was a fight of where are we going to put the IT jobs. They brought several hundred IT jobs here to Syracuse. That happened also with the GE Martin.
Martin Marietta.
Martin, well, it's Lockheed Martin, I think, now, or whatever they are. 300 engineering and technology jobs moving into Syracuse. National Grid, when they took over Niagara Mohawk, moved their EDI and their billing operations to Syracuse. Niagara Mohawk, their deregulated part, was purchased by Select Energy. They had a large IT department, part of Northeast Utilities in Connecticut. They moved all their billing and everything to Syracuse. So there is a lot of big success stories here in town, and some of the reason is education. Syracuse University, their engineering computer science department was one of the first universities in the U.S., I can tell you this personally, to offer a computer science degree, because I'm at the age where when I was ready for college and I wanted to go get a degree in computer science, there weren't any. There were two-year degrees, yep. Especially for business-related computer science. If you wanted to be an engineer, SU had a program, a couple other rented lips colleges had a program. Xavier of Ohio, which was only a two-year school at the time, had a computer degree program, and that
Potsdam
was about it.
State?
Yep. So a lot of early education here. Also, Syracuse University, people may not realize, has consistently housed the most powerful computers in the world pretty much from day one. Mm-hmm. At times, they've had the most powerful computer in the world here. One time, it was for almost a decade that they were the number one place for computer muscle. They've slipped a little bit, but they still have some very powerful systems.
One really neat thing about Syracuse, too, that you don't realize is we have a lot of bandwidth in this town.
Yeah, it goes on 20-something Sonnet rings around the city. And
we had a bunch of ISP companies start up and go and invest in a lot of infrastructure and go bye-bye.
Yeah, very affordable, too. You know, land speeds are 10 megabits or better. You know, a local area network that you have in your house is usually typically 100 megabits. 10 megabits is the old network speed. But trying to provide that kind of bandwidth across a long distance is very difficult and very expensive to do. I've set up 10 megabit networks with some local communication companies here for, like, radiologists who need to read x-rays and films and, you know, MRIs and things, and they don't want to leave their office and run down to the hospital or have a delivery service bring stuff over. And downloading files is ridiculous over the Internet because these are multi-gigabyte or 100 megabyte files. We've set up 10 megabit networks between doctor's offices and hospitals here for about $1,300 or $1,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very inexpensive. Yeah. And when you think about that, well, gee, that sounds like a lot of money. When you compare it to what the doctor would have to charge you to drive around all the time and the number of patients that he can do readings on, it actually decreases the cost of medicine substantially.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's a big quality of life improvement for the poor doctor who these guys work pretty hard. So, we have a lot of technology in that area. We're going to take a quick break. Let's go to the phones first, though. Let's see. Who do we have? We have Bill from Groton.
Bill!
Hey, Bill! Bill, how are you?
Hey, Mike and Jim. Good.
What about Tim?
Tim
there, too?
Yeah, that's me. Forget those guys.
Here's my question that I emailed to you.
That's working, by the way.
Every now and then I need to print out a directory listing.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what your guys' favorite shareware utility was for doing that, or freeware.
I use File Explorer, which is like that little ship that's off your website. I use it all the time. I don't know of any other ones because it's called Explorer XP. When I got that one, I stopped because it did everything I wanted it to do.
That's the one I use.
Where do you find it?
Oh.
I'll put a link in the
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz, man.
There goes my computer again. Where do you find it? It's on my desktop there.
So. No, I got to put a link up so people can find it because I'm like you guys. I try and answer people's questions.
We answer people's questions. You try.
You try. That's why you're the comedian.
Hitting everybody today, Bill. So, Bill, if you want to email us in the future, by the way, our email is now working, hosts@thetechnologygeeks.com. I will have the pop set up probably right after the show is over. And
I will get a link up on The Technology Geeks right now, Bill. I'm working on it now to that program so you can get to it.
You say it was called File Explorer?
I think Explorer XP is the formal name of the product. If you go into MajorGeeks.com and you go down to that little Google thing, which is about midway down on the left-hand margin, Just type Explorer, Space XP, the download page will come right up. Just make sure you're browsing, you're Googling only their website and not the web.
Almost got you. They have a lot of choices of ways to print out the directories.
I don't know. Yes, I know it can do expanded and collapsed, and that's the only ways I've ever really needed it. I always do a detailed listing when I've needed to print it out, and, of course, then it interfaces with your printer driver, so I usually print to, like, a PDF file so I can store it somewhere and do an examination or comparison. So I'm really not sure about how advanced the printing features are, but it prints the way I like it to print, so same thing. I stopped there because it did what I needed it to do.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so long for now. 421-9325, 421-WFBL is the number to call. We'll take our last break. When we come back, we will finish up our discussion on praising ourselves about Central New York technology and how great a place it is. I'm not that boring. Stop that. 421-9325 is the number to call. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 00111000100.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Is that monthly internet bill starting to really break the bank? When you can surf the internet for $9.95, why would you ever pay more? That's right. At USA DataNet, you get unlimited internet access for only $9.95. There's no setup fees, you get unlimited email addresses, and a high-speed dial-up connection. With USA DataNet, you receive the same fast, reliable internet service you get with a big-name provider, but for a fraction of the cost. And those aren't the only features USA DataNet offers. There are no contractual commitments, and USA DataNet provides a friendly, full, technical support team to answer any of your questions. So now, you can get the same internet for a much better deal. Go to usadatanet.com to sign up today. See for yourself why so many people are turning to USA DataNet for their internet service. Don't delay and keep throwing your money away. Go to usadatanet.com and join today. USA DataNet, the same internet for a much better deal. With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
It's all about the busyness, baby.
Yeah! That was me singing. 421-9325 is the number to call. You're listening to the last 5 minutes of MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. Right here on Talk Radio 1390. 421-9325, 421-WFBL. What?
Don't sing again. I almost performed CPR on you. I thought you were in trouble.
Hey, Bill, that link's up on today's update on the TechnologyGeeks.com for you for Explorer XP.
In case I ignore your email.
That's right. He knows he can get a hold of me.
Now, on the business side, we're talking about education, SU, is one that, you know, they really focus on engineering. On the business side, Brian and Stratton moved into Central New York in the, way back in the 70s. And they've grown to two campuses in Central New York, with IT being their largest department. Brian and Stratton is considered one of the best IT schools for business, especially in Central New York. They have consistently placed over 90% of their graduates in skilled careers in some of Central New York's most recognized employers. Money is another. Just because I worked on the merger and I've had a relationship with Mutual of New York over the years as a contractor, working with them, and I can tell you that they would, when they needed IT people, they would hire first right out of Bryan and Stratton.
I did not know that.
Very, very similar. Many other larger companies that, accounting firms, for example, they need IT professionals. They pull them right out of Bryan and Stratton because they're ready to work. And the reason they are is Bryan and Stratton would go to the businesses and say, and they're on their advisory board. In other words, they bring the businesses in, the larger, more successful businesses in their communities, Buffalo and the other cities that they're in. And they would bring them in and say, well, what do people need to do? Hey, we're a business school. What do they need to do? Well, the first thing they need to do, you know, your computer guys are very technically adept and they know how to write programs, but they don't know anything about business. Make sure that they teach them accounting. So they teach them all the way up through cost, intermediate one, intermediate two. So they almost have the equivalent of a two-year accounting degree. In fact, they only lack like one or two math courses that aren't even on point on accounting to have an associate's degree in accounting and an associate's degree in computer science. So some of those things that they've done over the years have been very responsive. And it's another reason that you get good technology professionals. There are other good IT schools here in town, trade schools like ITT Technical Institute. Syracuse University, responding to the fact that they do not produce graduates that have good business acumen and good, mechanical, trade-like technology skills. They're more theoretical because it's, four-year degree. They have CBIT, which takes and gets you a Microsoft certification. You can be a Microsoft certified engineer or programmer.
I got to get one of those things so I can hang it on the wall.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been working with Microsoft for a long, long time, and they had a grandfathered-in thing, but you had to pay them a bunch of money, several thousand dollars, and they would give you your certification, and you had
to take... that's what I'm talking about.
Right. But you can't do that anymore, and I'll tell you, I wish I had. I said, this will never take off. I know all I need to know about Microsoft stuff. What the heck? I mean, I've got them on speed dial. I work with them all the time, and now I look at, like, Chuck Swanson, who flies all over the world as one of Microsoft's top trainers. He's an independent contractor, but they hire him to do some of their biggest and most important jobs.
Funny.
And I'm stuck here, at the Chuckle House telling jokes,
I was just thinking about Chuck, because I said, he's got all those papers. I go over to his house, photocopy a bunch of them, white out the name, put my name in, and frame those. That makes me feel important.
Computer Professional of the Year is the president of Seneca Data. Also, listen to our Geek Break. It'll start here on April 17th between the 9 a.m. hour and the 5 p.m. hour, beginning a week from this Monday. Don't miss that. And Cucina Di Mori.
Or the Chuckle House.
And you and I will be back next week, and Jim, just watching.
Yeah, I was going to stay in the house.
I'll be in the Bahamas next week.
All right, so long.
Go drinks.
Good excuse. They just keep on ripping off their song. We got to install MP3 players. Labels bitching, losing royalties.